This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Today on CICK News, we've seen a lot of rain over the past couple of months in Northwest BC, and for the next few days, the rain will continue. We've also experienced a higher than normal snowpack this year, and although most of that snow has now melted into lakes and rivers throughout the region, the continued rain may be too much for riverbanks to hold. We've now seen flooding in New and Old Remo near Terrace, and now, once again, the Nechako River is under a flood watch, and the Skeena and Bulkley Rivers are under a high stream flow advisory. What else can we expect to see in the coming days if the rain doesn't let up? Jonathan Boyd, a hydrologist with the River Forecast Center of BC, is here today to give us an update about the potential flood risks throughout the region and what to watch out for in the coming days and weeks as the rain continues to pour down. Stay with us.
My name is Jonathan Boyd, and I'm a hydrologist with the BC River Forecast Center.
Jonathan, thanks so much for being with us today. Obviously, here in the Northwest region, we've got quite a bit of rain over the last couple of months, and we are starting to see some of that snow melt coming off the mountains and rivers rising. But maybe you could give us a quick brief breakdown of what the kind of the potential flooding situation looks like right now in the Skeena region.
Yeah, for both the Skeena River and Bulkley River, they have likely peaked for the year, and that was actually in early June. And this year was a unique year. The snowpack was essentially around normal for the Skeena region. And what was unusual was April and May were quite cool across the entire province. And in early June, there was probably the greatest warming trend relative to normal conditions occurred in the northern parts of the province, and that was inclusive of Smithers and Terrace. So that was the initial driving force of higher flows in early June. And directly following the maybe 3 or 4 days of relatively warm conditions, there was some substantial rainfall events for both the Bulkley and the Skeena, and that really pushed flows quite high. And since then, there have been little rainfall events here and there and other warm spells that have caused flows to kind of go up and down. But the peak likely occurred around the June 6th, 7th period of time. And since then, though, the flows are pretty high relative to normal conditions for this time of year. It's very unusual for those two rivers to ever get into any type of extreme flood in the July period. It's usually either in late April through late June. So it would take some unprecedented type of rainfall event. And the risk is still there just because the flows are substantially high. Definitely across the province, the snow melt was delayed by about 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, no, we've definitely noticed that. And in a couple of places, I was up the Maurice River the other day and could see that already the turbidity and kind of the murky water is starting to flush out and it's starting to clean up a little bit. But I guess the other question for some of our listeners is how does the River Forecast Center track this type of thing? What devices and where are they placed? How do you track the high water flows in rivers, but particularly here in the Skeena?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So actually, it's the Water Survey of Canada in the federal government that runs and operates the hydrometric network throughout the country. And how that works is that you can do a relationship between the stage, which is just the water level, and then the discharge, which is the flow. So someone will actually go out to to measure the river at, say, maybe 7 or 8 different times of the year at different levels. And you can make a relationship based on the water level to the discharge by making those measurements. So at different parts throughout a watershed, there are gauges, and there are quite a few within the Skeena. And of course, the Bulkley is actually a tributary of the Skeena River. So how it works is that water level is measured essentially every 5 minutes or so through a flotation device, and then that data is sent via satellite every couple hours or so, and we can access that data. And because there are people who go out to measure the water level and record the discharge, there is a calculation and formula to create a discharge. So knowing the discharge for us at the River Forecast Center is far more important than the water level, just because water level is very specific to one point on a river. And of course, anyone who is on a river, water level is more important, because that's, of course, the risk of flooding is the water level going up. So then what we do at River Forecast Center is we have a hydrological model called the CLEVER model that takes the current flows and essentially parses all of the different rivers into little segments, little channels that then route the water downstream. And so there's the actual data, the actual flow information, and then we have with our model the inputs of temperature and precipitation that we get from Environment Canada's sort of meteorological side. So then that gets put into the hydrological model to come up with a forecast. So it's a combination of multiple moving parts, but essentially what that is able to do is provide us with a potential forecast based on the most recent weather forecast and for the next 10 days or so.
John, one of the other things I wanted to touch upon was I saw that currently in the Chaco Lakes area, we're seeing a high water advisory. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the advisories that are out there that have been issued for potential flooding purposes?
Yeah. So the Nechaco River is at a flood watch at this moment in time. And part of that is it's just reached a level that we statistically put rivers at flood watch. So we first go from high stream flow advisory when a river reaches about a 2-year return period flow. And then when it gets to about a 5-year return period flow, it goes to flood watch. And if it's maybe 10 years or above, it's we'll bump it up to a flood warning. And what that essentially means is that if it's a 1 in 5 year flow, it's like statistically, there's about a 20% chance of that type of flow happening every year. So just 1 in 5 years. But usually that flow is enough to cause some concerns alongside the river banks. The Nechaco River is a little bit more complicated because there are some upstream contributions from Nechaco Lake and just the management of Kenny Dam and the reservoir there. So it, in essence, the dam itself usually does a pretty good job of limiting the flood risks downstream in an area like Vanderhoof. But a challenge like this year is that because the snow melt was so delayed, some of the natural rivers are still staying relatively high for this time of year, which isn't necessarily the case all the time. So say the Notley River, let me get an exact number here, is flowing just at about a 2-year return period level. And it's not necessarily a dramatic flood level, but it's just been sustained at a high rate. So the combination of releases from the reservoir plus the relatively high natural flows just make the river susceptible if there is a significant rainfall event. And it's really actually across the board throughout the province that a lot of areas are highly vulnerable to a big rainfall event. And that's not, say, 20 or 30 millimeters from a thunderstorm or maybe 10 or 20 millimeters of a reasonable like wet day, which is kind of frustrating in the summer. It would need to be like a day where there's 50 to 80 millimeters over a widespread region, and enough that if it was raining, people would be recognizing that it's a pretty dangerous situation, because that type of rainfall, of course, happens, especially say in Terrace in the fall and winter all the time. It's just that at that point in time, the rivers are usually a little bit lower, whereas they're still very high just because of the delay in snowmelt.
I guess just the last thing for you, Jonathan, currently, are there any other problematic areas I see through the interactive streamflow map conditions that it looks like the Babine is at a 2 to 5 year level? So are there any other problematic areas that you're watching out for?
It's certainly still, I'd say, across the board throughout the province, the major risk is just the potential for rainfall. For the next few days, the bullseye right now looks like it's going to be in the Cariboo region, and that's concerning because that's the one region that we have under a flood warning right now, because the flows have been relatively high, getting into, say, that 10-year, even peaking at some points at 20-year flows. So sort of for the immediate future, our major focus and concern is around the Quesnel area and the Cariboo. But I've learned enough that the weather forecasts, sometimes it's not even good on the same day. And we've experienced that a few times in June where areas around Kelowna were forecast to not have rain and then got tremendous amounts of rain in that same day. So whenever the, overall weather picture for the province is unsettled, meaning that there's just lots of rainfall and storm activity, the concern is that those storms can get stronger, develop, and then move in areas that may not have been forecast to have rainfall 2 or 3 days ago. So yeah, we're still on constant watch and running our model every day and updating the advisories and warnings page whenever it's needed.
Finally for you, Jonathan, if folks are looking to catch this data up to date in real time or to inform themselves about problematic areas, how can they do that?
Yeah, our website is the best location for that. And probably the easiest way to find us is just the BC River Forecast Center in a search engine. And then from there, there's the main page has quick links to some of the key pages. So, of course, the flood warnings and advisories is the most immediate in terms of where a certain area ranks. And then from there, other useful tools are, one is the current BC streamflow conditions, and that's a link to the Water Survey of Canada data. So those specific individual stations, and it'll actually show the most up-to-date real-time data on water level and flow for a particular stream. And then another one of the main quick links is our Clever Model 10-day forecast. And as I mentioned, that's getting updated on a daily basis right now, and that provides a 10-day flow forecast for several hundred rivers throughout the province, and it's color-coded, so it shows where the most extreme forecasts are for the upcoming 10 days or so, and you can click to see where your area fits in that way.
All right, perfect. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time and insight today. We very much appreciate it, and we will keep our eyes on those rivers.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.